Hey, welcome to the Rookies Podcast. This is Colin with Rio and Daniel, and we're just going to talk through some of what went on Sunday. So, guys, how did your Sunday go?
Mine went okay. I mean, we got some snow up here, about 6-7 inches on Sunday of last week, and then, you know, it was ice mixed with that, so that wasn't great. And then we had another about 2 inches this past Friday, so we still have people who were still concerned to get out. And where I'm at in Grayson, there's a lot of hills, a lot of back roads, and so some of our people still can't get out because the snow was pretty heavy. So we were lower in attendance, but we did week two of Genesis, preached on the 6 days of creation, haven't gotten to Sabbath yet, and it was going to be finish the 6 days in one sermon, move on to the Imago Dei next week, and it ended up being a two-part sermon. So I got through the phrase, and God said, and now I'm going to cover this next week, what it means for God's creation to be good and the structure in which he made his creation. So it was good Sunday. Got a lot of good feedback. Preaching Genesis has been a lot of fun so far. It's been a lot. I haven't preached Old Testament narrative consecutively for more than 4 weeks. So it's going to be interesting seeing and doing this for 50 chapters. So maybe year and a half is what I'm looking at to finish, but it was a good Sunday. Good worship. Didn't have life groups because, well, we try to give people a little more time to get to church yesterday because of the snow. But Daniel, how was yours?
It was good. I kind of stressed out this week. I'm also preaching, as we talked in the last podcast, Genesis, and my goal on Monday was to do all of chapter 1 into chapter 2, verse 3, all 7 days of creation. And I had a rough outline that I felt pretty good about. I sat down Tuesday to start filling out some more and then just really struggled with writing it. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing. Got something like on paper, like a pretty solid sermon down. And then as I'm walking home, which is 150 steps from my office, realized that sucks. Like, that's not a good sermon. And so I really wrestled with it. Friday, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I usually take Fridays off for family. I got to go back into the office and work on this. Worked on it, and I think I maybe text you or called you, Rio, and I was like, hey, I'm going to send this to you. I'm struggling. I think I even told you, like, I feel like a first-year seminary student that doesn't know how to read the Bible at all. But I'll just say this to brag on Rio for a minute. You were really helpful for me this week. And it's weird. I mean, maybe you guys have had that before as a rookie pastor. Sometimes the sermon just won't come out. And I think my issue was, as we talked about, I tried to make Genesis chapter 1 way more spiritual and way more symbolic than it needed to be. And just preach what the text says, how God forms the earth and then fills the earth. And it turned out to be, as my wife said, one of my best sermons. So don't know how to feel about that. But it was good. Overall, it was a good Sunday. What about you, Colin?
That's good. Yeah, today I had a little bit of what you were talking about going on. So this week, we have launched our new website, and I set up the live stream for it. We had a massive funeral for somebody in our community. It was like a five-hour funeral that long. And so we had to clear the parking lot because we got 8 inches of snow here, recruit a bunch of people to come and do it, and the church was great. A bunch of people jumped in. Some people in the community helped us out. So we got that cleared off. But, I mean, I was at the church all day Friday, didn't touch my sermon. I had looked at it a little bit earlier in the week, but we kicked up our emphasis for who's your one. And so I just preached Matthew chapter 4, I think. It's been a whirlwind today, where Jesus calls the first disciples and, you know, what that means and how we ought to be involved in calling people to follow Jesus and, you know, strategically, who's your one, thinking about and praying about who is one person God would give you to share the gospel with and by his grace lead to the Lord this year. So I think it was a good sermon. I mean, it was just kind of out of the overflow of my heart a little bit and just a desire to see people saved and, you know, mobilize our church for the work. Had a folksy illustration that landed and worked. But yeah, God was gracious. People were, I think, receptive and it was good. So we're really focusing on that this year. I'm curious because I saw on the Baptist Review, somebody post like, I'm just struggling to get something down on paper. And some people said, hey, I call another pastor and we talk about the text and that helps me. Another guy said, get out of the office. Another guy said, you know, really get devotional. Somebody said, read another theological book. What do you guys do when you get stuck, Rio?
So when I get stuck, I take about 15 minutes, 15-minute break, do something else, get up from my chair, go talk to one of our staff members. I just try to do something that's like, hey, I'm not being creative right now. I'm not feeling like I know where to go with this. And so I typically try to do something. When I come back, I pray and just ask for the Holy Spirit to help. Say, hey, I'm obviously not getting this. I don't know where to go with this, but it's your words, your text, and you're going to do with it what you want. So would you use me and just get me to where I need to be with this? Typically that works. Sometimes it's massive block to where I can't even begin to form words on how to describe this. Like right now with Genesis, I'm kind of the purity of God's creation, which I'm doing now, it being good. I'm having an issue streamlining all that I want to say with that. Because I preached, and I like preaching 35, 40 minutes. That's kind of my favorite. I went 45 minutes this past Sunday. And great, I guess, but I'm not big on, I could have said it probably in a shorter amount of time. But with that, I'm having an issue right now doing that. So what I did was today, knowing this was a part two sermon, I've already studied, but I don't know what to do with it. I haven't worked on the sermon today. I just kind of took a break. Talked to my student pastors in the office because he's bivocational, went to lunch with my staff, have talked about different things, worked on my doctorate. I just try to do something else for a bit because if I try to force myself to write something or to figure out what I want to do with it, but I'm struggling, I'm just going to write something I hate later on. So I just decide, hey, let's not do that. Let's just take a break. And typically that works for me. It's just taking a break, no shorter than 15 minutes, but sometimes it's a day where I just got to come back later and look at it.
So I went the other route and just wrote something I hated for a couple of hours. But that's part of being a rookie and learning what works and what doesn't. I've also found just for me, and you guys can relate to this, being pastors of small churches, there's always something that demands your attention. And so like last week on Monday and Tuesday, instead of writing the sermon, I took some time preparing documents for committee meetings that we're going to have on Sunday night. And so that was a task that does not require much creativity. It doesn't require studying the word. It's just putting together some documents, pulling some stuff from our bylaws, getting it on paper, just organizational things. Because there's still being productive of things that need to get done, even if it's not sermon writing. But that's one of those things that I can always go to. But I do enjoy getting out and walking. Like being outside is good for me. And I'm fortunate to have a pretty good like parking lot, and we have a trail that goes through a field. We have like a storybook walk we've done a couple times a year. On nice days, not when it's 25 degrees outside, I'll go out and walk through there for a little bit, maybe spend some time in prayer or just trying to distract myself with something. And that usually helps from time to time.
Yeah, Daniel, you mentioned, you know, this is because we're rookies. And then you brought up, of course, that our week often gets thrown to the wayside when we have stuff come up, especially as smaller church pastors. I mean, I know we all pastor churches between 80 to about 220. So there's still a lot of people who want the lead pastor at all this stuff. They want the lead pastor at the funeral home. They want the lead pastor at the hospital. They want you making all these visits. They want you basically to be in there and what people's minds are, be a pastor before you're a preacher. And you've heard the statement, Colin, I know you've heard it too. People have said, well, he's a good pastor, he's not a good preacher. He's a good preacher, he's not a good pastor. And I've always hated that only because I believe good preaching is pastoral and good pastoring requires good preaching. Mm-hmm. I think we make a false dichotomy when people say stuff like that. But in a lot of people's minds, they'd rather have a good pastor rather than a good preacher. So while you're trying to have this schedule of, I want to prepare my sermons from this time to this time, and I'll go make visits here, or I'll go do this here, people don't really, I say care, not in a bad sense of they're being disrespectful, but they have their own opinions of what should take up your time. And so with being a rookie pastor, you've been at your church for 2.5 years, right? Colin's been at his the longest.
We can't see him on video right now, so I don't know what he's doing. And I've been here for about 4 months now. So I think it'd be helpful for us to talk about how do you begin to balance the people's desire for you to go visit people almost every week? And let's be honest, when you're new, they really want you to go visit people that you don't even know. And almost like they expect you to go without them prompting, like you should know to go visit these people. And all of it is, it's not bad. And I don't think it's wrong for these people to want us to go visit people. Absolutely. I think it's a, it's a good thing. They want their pastor to go visit the flock. But how do you balance as a rookie pastor having to prepare sermons also often multiple a week, including Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, and sometimes you're teaching Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you balance that visitation or visitation in hospitals versus visitation in nursing homes? One that's more urgent, the other that can wait or maybe be put off a little bit there. So how would you go about balancing that when you first got to your church? And how are you balancing it now with sermon prep and all other things you got to do as well?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. I'm very fortunate to have my wife that when we first got here was very intentional about, hey, we're going to go visit people. Like on days where I had a long day of ministry, a long day of writing sermons or whatever, I'd get home that afternoon, that evening, and she was like, hey, I made some desserts. We're going to go take it to these families. And that was something really fun just for my family, was to make some desserts. And then we got to go to the houses of various people. And we just kind of worked our way randomly down the list. It was a chance to just, number one, see where they live, and then just to let them know, like, we know, not a way, like, we know where you live, but a way, like, we are investing in you and we want to be here for you. So that was a small way. And we would maybe spend sometimes 10, 15 minutes visiting, or there were some nights we spent like 2 hours just visiting. And so that was a really good way, especially getting into the church and trying to get to know people. And that is one thing that's difficult, like as a pastor, I think, is that because we naturally talk about ourselves and our illustrations from time to time on Sunday mornings, people tend to know a lot about our lives, and we don't always have the opportunity to know a lot about their lives unless we take the time to go to their house and to meet them where they're at. And so that was for me, and we've kind of gotten out of that habit. I think it's whenever we had our fourth child, it was really easy to not leave people's houses. But we try to be intentional when it comes to sporting events or band concerts, plays, all that kind of stuff. Just being in the bleachers with them or being in the seat and trying to surround ourselves with people. And that helps you pastor to get to know them and helps you ultimately shepherd them. And there's days and weeks where I'm good at it, and there's days and weeks where I look back and think, I'm a terrible pastor. I've spent too much time in the office and not outside.
I know for me, relationship building, a lot of the reason why people want you to go visit is because they want you to build these relationships. These are people they care about, and they want you to care about them too. For example, at Gilead, the first church I was senior pastor at full time and, you know, vocationally, was almost at a seminary. I had a lady who called me about 2 months into my tenure there. This is before COVID, but about 2 months before, called me and said, Rio, there's a lot of people upset with you right now. And I was like, what for? I'm like, what have I done? I've been here 2 months. And she goes, well, you haven't visited, named this lady's name. And I was like, ma'am, I'm not trying to be rude. I don't know who that is. I said, you know, I've asked for a list of our shut-ins and stuff like that too. And, you know, I just got it this past week. And I said, I'm trying to figure it out. I was like, I wasn't aware that this was, I didn't even know who this lady was. I said, but I'll make an effort to go visit her. And it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, oh, you know, you need to go do this. And people are upset. People get more upset when they feel like you're not visiting people than if you preach one stinker of a sermon on a Sunday. Like, that's just kind of what my experience has been. And again, I want to believe wholeheartedly it comes from a good place. I don't think there are people who are trying to just find something wrong with you. I mean, there are those people who are trying just to find something wrong with your ministry because, you know, you say something they don't like on a Sunday or something like that. But most of the time when people are upset, it's because this is something they're passionate about. They want you to go visit these people. These are people they love, who they know. And it becomes sometimes a juggling act to balance visiting people. And, you know, being a young pastor too, you want to build those relationships. And sometimes you guys may not have had this experience, but for me, there have been times where it almost like
the older people who want you to make visits to other older saints feel like, oh, well, you're young, you don't know better, so let's just kind of go ahead and tell you need to be doing this. And again, I want to appreciate most of it because, hey, I don't know these people. I didn't know we had somebody in the nursing home. That's great. You can only claim ignorance for so long. I mean, if you're in a church longer than a year, I don't think you can claim ignorance anymore, just to be honest. But your first few months, you know, people are just, hey, I expect you to go visit these people. And yeah, I want to go visit them. But for me, I've learned when I'm starting off, I need my deacon's help. So that was a long way to get to that statement is what I've tried to do when I get to a new church is, hey, my deacons make visits with me. And I try to go to different deacons every time I make a visit. I really, there are some deacons who I'm naturally going to be more inclined to go with just because I have a better relationship with them. There are some that I may not want to go with because I don't know them super well, but I force myself to say, hey, I've gone with this deacon a couple of times. I need to invite this deacon who hasn't gone with me on a visit. That's been super helpful, especially because if you tell a deacon, hey, I want to go make visits this week, who do you got? They know who needs to be visited, and then you know who needs to be visited afterwards. So my first year, I try to take deacons with me. Second year, third year, I try to take just members with me, like members, like older members who want to go make those visits. That's been helpful, and that's actually helped me in the relationship building side get some equity and get some trust from those who are in older generations who still view young guys under 60 as not really pastors. They're the preacher. But Colin, about you, how do you handle visitation your first few months as a pastor? Because you kind of have a different situation. You were the youth pastor, then became the pastor. What was your experience with that?
It was good because Chad, my predecessor, had already established a rhythm of visitation on Tuesdays. And so I had been going with them for like 8 months. And we have a day that two deacons and myself pretty much go out and see who we can encourage, who's in the hospital, who's coming home from the hospital, or just who needs a visit. And it's just been good to put that on the calendar every single week at the same time. We've kind of moved it to a Thursday just to make it a little bit easier for my schedule now, but I love it. Having that time set aside, people expect it. And the only difficulty is like we try to get around to everybody. So we're kind of at the point now we need to kind of divide and conquer. So we've invited some other people to come with us and others to go on visits, but it's true. You need other people's help to understand who needs a visit and when they need a visit. Because otherwise you won't know they're in the hospital or they're struggling or something's going on in their life. And so setting that rhythm up like, hey, let me know. I want to come visit. I want to be available. That pays dividends just with pastoral care because it's not the same to go visit somebody the week after they came home from the hospital than as when they showed up and they didn't know they're going to be in the hospital, but you were there and you were able to pray with them and encourage them and be a friendly face and practice the ministry of presence. So I inherited a pretty good rhythm of that and an expectation, but it's still sometimes hard to touch base with people for one reason or another. Or, you know, it just doesn't work out or some people don't want to visit, right? They just don't want to see you or they're shy or they're, you know, kind of private individuals. And so, that can be hard too, just to say, hey, you know, I'm not gonna sit down and set up camp. I just want to come encourage you and pray with you and see how you're doing. So that's kind of what we've done. And I mean, we could definitely improve it. We're working on right now using Grow Teams. So like one day a month, writing letters or going out on visits or checking in on people that are homebound, just as the members of Calvary. And one of our members who's a former pastor and has a lot of experience with this, I said, hey, you can do whatever you want. Let me know what you want and I'll support you in it. And I'd love to learn from you too. And so that's something we're practicing right now is just really learning from some people that have done it before and done it well.
Can I ask you, because I'm like, I mean, you've done this several years now. So like if you go visit somebody at home, whether you just came home from the hospital or like a shut-in, do you have like a goal or like a specific thing you're trying to do in a visit? Like, what does that look like for you and your ministry?
So I went on visits with some pastors at Quail Springs whenever I was an intern there and whenever I was just coming home from seminary because I had a little bit of a gap period. And mm-hmm. so I got to go hang out with the senior adult minister who has since gone to be with the Lord and was like Yoda with people and visits. And so you would walk into Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City and he knew the names of the desk people and they knew his name and he'd talk for a little bit. He knew the nurses, he knew the doctors. I mean, he was up there all the time. And he said, typically what I do is I let them know, hey, I would like to visit you. This is when I'll be there. I'm not going to be super long, but I want to come encourage you. And he would show up, he'd be there and he'd ask them how they're doing, ask them about the prognosis and then ask them if there's anything that, hey, that you need me to pray for right now. And if there wasn't, you know, just pray for whatever surgery mm-hmm. had just happened or health concern had just happened, or just pray for them and their state. And he said, the goal I have roughly is if I stand on one leg, about the time that I want to switch from that leg to the other leg, I can be wrapping it up. And he said, there's obviously different cases.
That's good.
Someone's passing away and you're holding their hand and you need to be there a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a, mm-hmm. you know, an extremely traumatic event in the life of family. Be there a longer period of time. But he said, you know, don't sit down. Just stand up. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. Be intentional with the time that you have. And then get out of there. And you can always come back. Mm. But sometimes it creates an undue burden on that person and they have to feel like they host you or it's uncomfortable. And on top of being in the hospital, now they have to entertain this third person.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. And then the other encouragement I got from Ray Griffin was he said, you may feel like you don't know what you're there to do, but they don't know what you're there to do either. So just love them and minister to them and try to inject the gospel and pray for them. Don't leave without mm-hmm. praying for them. And if you do that, the Lord will use it and they'll be encouraged. But a lot of the time, it's not about doing it in one meeting. It's if something's going on regularly, being involved in their life regularly and showing up more than once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mm-hmm. just, hey, I spent 4 hours at the hospital with you. I mean, I've stayed up at the hospital overnight with somebody before because it needed to happen. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's a max of a 10 to 15 minute visit.
Okay.
Yeah. This past week, I had two different visits I had to make. I had one at a deacon who was going to have quadruple bypass surgery. And so me and another deacon got to the hospital when he was still waiting to go back. This stayed 15, 20 minutes, joked around with him, talked, and then prayed together and then left. So typically when it's a visit like that before a surgery, I either try to call somebody. If it's a surgery at like 5 a.m, I'm going to wake up and call them. I'm not going to drive all the way there unless it's life-threatening. If it's life-threatening surgery, then yeah, I'm going to be there no matter what the time is. But try to, if someone's having surgery, at least contact them, text them, call them, pray for them. If it's something like quadruple bypass or a major surgery, I'll go visit them in person, try to like make it my top priority. But we were only 15, 20 minutes, prayed with them. Then the other visit I had last week was I had a church member whose father was passing away. And he did pass away. He was on hospice care. I was there for an hour just because I sat down with the family. We talked. We just had a good time and kind of read the room that when the conversation died down, okay, it's time to go. Like, I don't need to be here longer than this. But I try to keep my visits between 15 to 30 is my goal. Just I feel like that's a good range. If, you know, kind of like Colin said, there are situations that are going to demand longer periods of time and shorter periods of time. But Daniel, how do you handle those kind of visits?
After listening to you two, very poorly. I'm just trying to think through like the several that I've been in, and most of mine have been, my hospital visits have been pretty significant surgeries or when someone's about to pass away. And I think the biggest thing is just being there and just being with the family. I remember one is a member of our church now, and he was having heart surgery, and it was late at night. And so I wanted to go up there and just to kind of be with his family and just kind of sat while he was in surgery. And just with the natural flow of conversation, I stayed there for like an hour and a half, I think. I wasn't just trying to do something and leave. I just wanted to visit. And we were just talking about life and talking about him. And fortunately, like by the time that we had continued to talk, you know, he'd gotten out of surgery and they asked if I wanted to go back and kind of see him and pray with him. And I said, absolutely. And so got to go back there and pray with him. And he was still kind of under anesthesia and stuff, but I had to come back after that and just pray with the family again. But I think that's one of those things, just listening to you two talk about it. If we think back to what seminary did not prepare me for, I feel like I had maybe one class, like one class period in pastoral ministry where we talked about hospital visits. And in another class period, we talked about like preparing for a funeral, visiting the family before a funeral. It's one of those things where you can get a lot of information on what to do, but when the time comes to do it, you kind of just got to figure out what the best thing to do is. And it can be challenging, I think, for young pastors to navigate what somebody needs during that time. Because I've never been in, like, I'm talking about funerals. That's on my mind now because on Friday, one of our longtime church members just passed away. And she'd been in a nursing home for several years before I got here. And I found out and just immediately called the gentleman who's been one of our deacons for a long time and just... I was just kind of dumbfounded, just kind of shocked, and he was as well. And so like, he's coming over to the house tonight, and we're just going to visit and to talk about her life. And it's one of those things where I've never been on his side, but I've never lost someone really close to me. So I don't, if I'm being honest, I don't really know what someone needs in that moment during that time. And I'm fortunate to never have been in that, but I just want to try to be there just to love the family, ultimately, just to speak the gospel into their life, to give them hope, to give them assurance that God is good all the time. And so I think for me, it's been a lot of figuring out what is best in that moment. And I think sometimes I've done it well, and if I'm honest, sometimes I've done it poorly. But I hope that I do it better and better the longer I go on.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is, you can walk in with any kind of plan of, I'm going to be here this long, but you also have to be sensitive to the situation. Because, you know, part of pastoring is you're not just there to check off a box that I made a visit this week.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel like there's a temptation to do that, especially when you're in a church that really prioritizes visitation. And you kind of, okay, I checked it off. I went and visited people. But at the same time, you're pastoring those people by going to see them. You're shepherding them through sickness and death, and you're shepherding them through losing a loved one. So it's smelling like your sheep. And when you preach, the more you smell like your sheep, the more your church listens to you when you preach. So that's just one thing I've learned with that. And one grand piece of advice that I got that sounds random, but listen to me on this one. Justin Sampler gave me this advice when I was the greatest intern he's ever had, and he would probably dispute that comment. But when we went on a hospital visit, Justin said, Germex on your way in, Germex on your way out.
Yep. And I think, too, just be thoughtful about the words that come out of your mouth when you're talking to somebody, especially when you are asking them, you're trying to start conversation and see how they're doing emotionally and spiritually. Don't ask them how they're doing. Mostly because sometimes they just lost somebody. They just heard they're stage four cancer or something. They're not doing good. So you can kind of step in it sometimes if you're not a little bit empathetic and thinking about, I know they're doing badly. Ask them, you know, what does your grief look like? Or tell me how you are dealing with this diagnosis or whatever, you know. But don't just throw a, hey, how's it going? Because you're like tone deaf in that moment sometimes. And most people are pretty gracious. They're going to hear what you mean to communicate, not what you're saying. But especially as pastors, I think we need to be able to set that tone and sometimes just say, I'm sorry, and mourn with people or even weep with them and just practice lament. And that is a lot of visitation when it's the worst day of somebody's life, just saying, I'm so sorry. Not trying to give answers. There'll be a time for that. And, you know, you need your pastoral sensibility and the leading of the Holy Spirit to let you know when that is, to inject the truth of God's sovereignty and grace and his kindness and his mercy and the sureness of the second coming and all those things. But if you just go into a hospital room where someone's just lost a child and say, hey, you're going to see him again. All right. Feel like I got to go. You're not going to see those people at church again because they're done with you.
I had a, just to kind of go with that, when Renee and I lost our first kid in miscarriage, called a few people, let them know, but the two conversations that stand out to me most, it wasn't two people who tried to, they didn't try to give me like a silver bullet solution. And that's how I work. Like when something's wrong, I want to try to fix it. That's just the way I go. But I remember the first phone call I made was to a friend of mine named Bradley Davis, and he had walked through miscarriages. And when I told him we were walking through one now, he just said, hey, I just want to leave you with these three truths. I love you. He said, just remember, this is not how things are supposed to be. God is making all things new, and he is very near to you right now. Like, and he just pray, like he just said, hey, call me, pray with me. The second friend I called was a guy named Jerry Young. He preached Renee and I's wedding. And I remember when I told him, he just broke down and cried with me. And that's it. Like, those are the two I remember most. There are people who tried to throw this stuff around. Like, by the way, just point of privilege here. Someone loses a baby or something, please, for the love of all that's holy, don't quote Job. Don't go, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, 100% true. But to the person who just lost a child, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Best thing you can remind them of is the gospel, that God is making all things new and he's near to the brokenhearted. But best thing Job's friends ever did was they shut up and sat with him before they opened their mouths, and everything went to garbage after they started talking.
Yeah, platitudes, and that's what people fall back on. Like, I get it. When you don't know what to say, sometimes you just say something. But it's better to say nothing and just say, I'm sorry, and weep with somebody. And if you're the type of person who's a pastor, you probably do care about people, I hope. And you're in tune relationally with them, I hope. And you can kind of read a room, I hope. And if you are led by the Spirit and those things are true, like, you'll figure out how to love those people well. And you don't have to sweat it too much. And I think that's probably why we don't have a class on it in seminary, because how are you going to game plan and strategize for something that you haven't been in before? Like, you can have all the right answers, you can have all the theology, but you got to love the person and you've got to pray for them and just be present in the moment and not be running a playbook. And I think that's as important as anything.
One last thing I want to say before we wrap up, and it's just because, Daniel, you've been a pastor at your church for 2.5 years. Colin, how long have you been at Calvary now?
We've been here for 4 years total, but 3 years as lead pastor, so like August, yeah, to 3.5 years.
Yeah, and I've been at Grayson for 4 months. I was at Verdigris for 2, Gilead for 3. But one of the things that I just want to say to the new pastor starting out, the rookie, or maybe the pastor just started a brand new position, this is your second or third church, no two churches are the same when it comes to visitation. Because Gilead really prioritized visitation, and that was something that they wanted me to go do. Now, they wanted to do it about once a month, go see somebody, go to the nursing home, go make sure to go to the hospital. That was just what they wanted you to do. Verdigris, we made hospital visits, but there wasn't a lot of nursing home visitation. It was once every 2 months. It was something they wanted you to do, but it wasn't, you know, hey, I'm going to hound you for it and be upset that you don't. It just, that's just how they were. At Grayson, visitation is a huge deal here. And it's one of the things that previous pastors have done really, really well at this church. I mean, every hospital visit they can make, they're there, visiting people once, twice a week. And I'm used to once every other week, once a month, going to see somebody. I love it, but that's just more the pattern I was used to at my previous churches. So if you walk into a church, just because they're different, if they prioritize it less, that doesn't mean you should use an excuse not to do it. If they prioritize it more, don't feel guilty that was an expectation they had that maybe they didn't communicate to you or that's new to you. Just make visits, get close to them. I would say the best advice I can give is what I'm doing at Grayson. I'm trying to go at least once every other week. I know there are those who maybe want me to go once a week, but as one professor of mine told me in seminary, you need to under-promise and over-deliver.
That's a good word. And utilize your deacons. Utilize people in the church and encourage them to have a one another approach to ministry, that this is not, you know, the professional's job. It's their job. Because I have visited people before too, and I think this needs to be said. I've visited people before as the first year, second year, third year pastor. They're like, "Pastor, thank you so much for coming. It encourages us. This was a great visit. Thank you." I'm just a little hurt that all the people that I've known for 3 decades, 4 decades, my whole life haven't been here, that you've been here. I'm thankful you're here, but it stings that nobody else is here. And church, that's on us to get there, to make time and to know what's happening and know that person needs a visit. So don't push it off on your pastor. If you're a church member, listen to this. They need your visit too, as much or more.
That's exactly what I was going to say as well, is that there is an expectation for your, I think a lot of people, your pastor to be there, or your deacons to be there. But there's a lot to be said whenever someone who you've sat in Sunday school with for 15 years shows up. There's a lot of, I mean, that just shows the how much your church cares for you, how much your church loves you when you show up for that kind of stuff. And so I would encourage you church members, if you want to go visit somebody in the hospital, go. If you would like someone to go with you, ask your pastor to go with you. And they would be, I'm sure, delighted to go. Do ministry. It's not just the role of the pastor. It's the role of all of us.
And please, like, if you're listening to this and you're not a pastor, you are a church member. Your pastor does not know everything. And one of the things you cannot assume is that he knows who needs to be visited at all times. He like, the best thing you do as a church member is don't assume someone has told him, even if you're the 4th text he's gotten that day about this person being in the hospital, be the 4th text that person that he's gotten that day and let them know. I had a lady who was mad at me because I didn't come visit her in the hospital. Is not here, by the way, not at Grayson, who was mad that I didn't come visit her at the hospital. She had a minor surgery and she was mad I didn't get there. So I said, "Well, did you tell anybody you're having surgery?" No. So what you just should have known. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, don't do that. Tell your pastor. He cannot he can't be everywhere all at once. So, you know, if you tell him and he can't go right away, make the visit yourself.
Yeah.
Like be an every member's a minister kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, go do it yourself. Tell your pastor. He will thank you for over communicating. You'll hurt him by not communicating.
Yeah.
Rio, this was probably at your time during First Baptist Dinola, they had in the bulletin under staff, they had a line that said the congregation.
It's
true.
It's what we need. We need more people doing ministry in the church. This was good. I'm glad we got to sit down and talk about this one because it's something that, as I said, it's something I know I need to get better at. And just visiting with you guys about it has both encouraged me to do it better and hopefully whenever I go to actually do it better. But thanks guys for joining us today. We're going to wrap this one up and I'm excited for the next couple episodes we have coming out. We got some special guests. So stay tuned on our socials to see some announcements on who's coming up. But thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you guys next time.
See ya. Adios.